name's Hillary Gleason. I'll be presenting on the effects of state transgender legal protections on perceived community stigma and mental health. And I'll start by saying that I have no relationships to disclose on this. So as we've already spoken a good deal about already is that transgender individuals face compounding stigma. So whether this be kind of overt transphobia or more nuanced manifestations of cissexism or even heterosexism to some extent. And as we already spoke about a little bit, stigma exists across various levels of society. And so if we think of this through this ecological systems theory, we can look at it from both the macro level and the micro level. So at the macro level, we can look at kind of the societal expectations and values, and at the kind of more micro level, we can look at what is an individual's immediate environment, and how is that supporting the individual or stigmatizing the individual. So a gender minority individual might exist in a state that doesn't have transgender legal protections, but on the other hand might be in a family unit or in a workplace that's very supportive of who they are, and vice versa. So I'm kind of interested in how these various levels of how stigma might play out are affecting the individual and kind of their perceived sense of safety and support in their community. So we know that these experiences of stigma have real immediate effects on gender minority individuals. So a recent report found that there's about double the rate of unemployment among transgender individuals, despite, in general, higher educational attainment than the general population. The same report found that 26% reported losing their job due to their gender identity or expression. We also tend to see an elevated rate of homelessness among gender minority individuals found by that same report. And Dr. Reznor and colleagues also have a study that finds similar outcomes. So among 387, I believe, self-identified trans Virginians, 41% reported at least one experience of discrimination in regards to access to healthcare, employment, or housing. And at its worst, kind of these layers of stigma can also become a form of violence and victimization. So we tend to see about double the rate of victimization among gender minority individuals, which gets even higher if we look at ethnically diverse samples. And if we kind of delve into the literature, we see that often these experiences of victimization can be attributable back to gender identity and expression in the vast majority of the cases. And so it's no surprise, I think, that stigma has been found to be a real risk factor for poor mental health outcomes. And we see elevations in psychological distress across the board. So this makes a lot of sense, given kind of minority stress processes, as we spoke about before, past experiences of discrimination or anticipated discrimination in the future can really cause these minority stress processes to unfold. And I think some of the most alarming statistics here have to do with suicidal ideation and attempts. So in a variety of studies, we see suicidal ideation in terms of kind of the lifespan ranging from 38% to 65%. And if we look at for attempts, we tend to see those clocking in around one-third. So there are some real alarming kind of immediate repercussions in terms of mental health when we're looking at how is stigma and discrimination and victimization playing out. So as I said, I'm interested in kind of these levels of stigma and discrimination. So this first map, thanks to the Transgender Law Center, is a map of non-discrimination policies in the United States. And what we're really looking for are those dark, I guess they don't really look dark green to you, but those states with the T's in them have non-discrimination policies for gender minority individuals in private sector businesses. The light greens have something covering sexual minority individuals, but not gender minority individuals. And this is a map of hate crime laws in the United States. So again, we're really looking for those dark green states with those T's on it. Light green states have a hate crime law at the state level only regarding sexual minority individuals. The states with the stripes in them correspond to having some kind of hate crime law that does not cover gender nor sexual minority individuals. So given all we know about how stigma is a risk factor for poor mental health outcomes, I'm interested in how these state-level legal protections affect perceived stigma in the community level. So how is the stigma being felt by the individual and their immediate environments? I'm also interested in how does perceived community-level stigma predict individuals' risk factors for and symptoms of psychological distress. So as I said before, we've already found this in the literature, but I'm going to delve into it more in my sample. So my sample is drawn from a larger study on LGBT substance use, personality, and mental health. The original study included 730 LGBTQ or questioning adults who were recruited to take part in an online survey via LGBT groups, community organizations, and Facebook. And from that larger sample, we had 120 individuals who self-identified as being a gender minority individual. So the majority in this smaller sample are individuals who did not identify as neither trans man or trans woman, but identified as either genderqueer, agender, bigender, gender fluid, and so forth. 32 individuals self-identified as trans women, and 37 individuals self-identified as trans men. And we had a big range in age, so from 18 to 75 years old, with our mean age being around 28. The majority of the sample was white, so 87.5% of the sample was white. There were fewer than 8 individuals in who were either Black, Hispanic, Asian American, or Native American in each of those categories. And across the sample, 38 states were represented. So we have a good kind of representation of states. 60.8% of individuals did not live in a state with those state-level transgender legal protections. And this is just kind of a visualization of where these participants are coming from. So in terms of measures, I looked at what they reported their state to be, and I just compared that to similarly those maps that I showed earlier. So I was interested in, do these states have some kind of legal protection regarding non-discrimination or hate crimes? And in terms of that kind of community-based stigma, I used the 7 items perceptions of local stigma measure. We measured discrimination and victimization because we know these are huge risk factors for poor mental health outcomes in the future. And our psychological distress variable was measured by the DAS that looks at depression and anxiety. And we also looked at suicide attempts. So this was just a single item self-report measure asking basically how many times in your lifetime have you attempted suicide. And we ran an ANCOVA covariance for age, and we found that there was a difference in these populations. So in states that didn't have legal protections, the kind of mean perceived community stigma was higher than in states that did have either a hate crime law or a non-discrimination law at the state level. So these results were significant. And in follow-up bivariate analyses, we saw that perceived community stigma was also related to the majority of these variables. So discrimination and victimization, anxiety, and suicide attempts were all statistically significant in terms of their relationship with perceived community stigma. Depression was approaching significance, not quite there. That could be a power issue. So overall, I found that, yes, there seems to be some kind of relationship between state-level legal protections and stigma in the community. So if we look at kind of that ecological systems theory I was talking about earlier, we can kind of see that there are layers of stigma that play out in different ways in the individual. But what we also saw was that individuals who were living in states with non-discrimination policies were still reporting a significant level of perceived community stigma. So just saying that we need to be kind of targeting these state-level protections is not enough. There's some really wonderful gender minority community advocacy organizations out there that are doing really that groundwork in the community and working to kind of combat this discrimination and stigma at that most immediate level for the individual. I think this also goes to show how well the discussions of health disparities and transgender equality and advocacy kind of dovetail together. So oftentimes we see these dialogues happening, I think, in kind of two separate spaces, and they really work together kind of well and strengthen each argument. So in terms of the limitations here, it'd be great to have a larger sample to kind of increase the probability of finding significant results. I should also note that I lumped together trans men, trans women, and people who were gender minorities but did not ascribe to either of those labels. And it would be probably useful to kind of break apart these groups and see how trans men versus trans women experience stigma at this local level and how they experience it at the state level and so forth. There's some subjectivity with the self-report measures that I had. And there's also this question of directionality. So this was just a one-time cross-sectional data analysis. So I'm speaking as if I know that state-level protections have an immediate effect on this community-based stigma, but we don't really know the directionality there. So perhaps communities in which there is a lot of support and less stigma are going to kind of affect that at the state-level, kind of policy-level side of this. And so I think future research could really work to parse apart where is this stigma existing. So maybe through a multi-level modeling type of study, looking at how is stigma or variance in stigma partitioned across state, county, city, and kind of our more immediate microsystems, and how is that playing out. And also we're at this really kind of exciting point where we're seeing a lot of movement in terms of gaining rights for gender minority individuals. So we have this wonderful opportunity to do some kind of longitudinal analysis in these states that are enacting these laws, looking at individuals and seeing how they're experiencing this stigma and how their mental health, their perceived mental health, might be changing over this time. So thanks.